Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
In biology, one of the main pieces of evidence for intelligent design is the bacterial flagellum. What is the main piece of evidence supporting intelligent design in astronomy? In this episode of ID the Future, astronomer Guillermo Gonzalez explains that for the past 50 years, physicists and astronomers have been exploring the idea of the fine-tuning of the constants of nature in order for life to exist. Gonzalez goes on to describe some of the other evidences for design within astronomy and cosmology.
So the question is, in biology, Exhibit A for intelligent design is a bacterial flagellum. What's Exhibit A in astronomy? I'd say there's a few. The one that's been around the longest, actually, that Jay alluded to very briefly, was the idea of the fine-tuning of the constants of nature in order for there to be life, for life to be possible in the universe. And this has been discussed by physicists and cosmologists for about 50 years, starting with Fred Hoyle's famous 1953 publication of a paper on the existence of a level in carbon-12 nucleus, which allowed carbon to be generated inside stars. And, of course, that prediction was confirmed very soon afterwards, where they did find an energy level just where he had predicted there should be one. And then other physicists such as Paul Davies, John Barrow, and others have written about additional examples of fine-tuning in nature. Now there's quite a long laundry list, actually, of examples of fine-tuning of the constants in physics, where you just change one constant just a little bit, and you can't have life in the universe. It becomes completely uninhabitable. So, in other words, the particular values of the constants of physics that we find in the universe are highly improbable. It's a highly improbable type of universe we live in. And that's been around for a long time, and it's been discussed. You have people on both sides, both some saying that design is a better explanation, some saying that, for example, multiple universes is a better example. And so that's actually in the mainstream of physics. But frankly, my personal favorite evidence of design in astronomy is the one that we present in the book, The Privileged Planet. And it's actually an original argument. And the claim is that we found a pattern in nature, namely that those same places where you find complex life are also the same places that it's best to do science. So in other words, if you find a place where the conditions for complex life are satisfied, well, those very same conditions also give you the best place for doing science. And so that correlation can't be explained by logical necessity. Okay? There's no logically necessary reason why the conditions for life should correlate so tightly with the necessary conditions for doing science. And so design is the best explanation for that. And it's completely empirical. We have examples in geophysics, in atmospheric sciences, in astronomy and cosmology, and physics. And so it's completely from the physical sciences. Okay, so how would this be testable? We give one particular way of falsifying our argument. We find another planet, for example, in the galaxy, perhaps even near the solar system, that is just as habitable as the Earth, but offers a very poor environment for scientific discovery. Or the converse, find a place that is uninhabitable but offers better opportunities for scientific discovery and measurement than the Earth. We also make a prediction, give a couple of predictions, actually. One of them is that if the universe is, in fact, designed so that the best places for life are also the best places for science, in other words, if the universe is designed for scientific discovery by complex conscious creatures, then you would expect them to have tools available to measure the universe and, in fact, all the regions of the universe. So we would expect that there should be standard candles. Okay, and they should be rather relatively common. Okay, they're standard candles in astronomy are objects, stars, for example, that purely from the observations of the stars, you can figure out its intrinsic luminosity. And from that, you can figure out how far away it is. And they're very important in astronomy to figuring out distances. Examples of standard candles are classical Cepheid variables and type 1a supernovae. We claim that a new type of object that was discovered only about 25 years ago called gamma-ray bursts will also be found to be calibratable standard candles. That's still a controversial issue in astronomy, but there's increasing evidence that they are indeed standard candles. And we make that prediction in the book, that they will eventually be proven to be standard candles, because then they'll offer us a very important tool for probing the very early times in the history of the universe. And a second prediction we make, it's a different kind of prediction. It's more like an expectation. I wrote a paper published in the journal Icarus titled Rummaging Through Earth's Attic for Signs of Early Life, where I present calculations with a couple of graduate students from the University of Washington as to the concentration of terrestrial meteorites in the moon and the moon's surface. Now, people have wondered, now, what gave you the idea to write a paper about this subject? And why is this important? Well, it's important because the Earth's early history has completely erased any traces of possible early life prior to about 3.7 billion years ago. And so we can't really address the question of the origin of life empirically by studying Earth rocks. And origins questions are among the most important questions scientists ask. And so it would be surprising to us, if the universe really is designed for scientific discovery, if we can't answer this very important question empirically, like we can answer other basic scientific questions empirically. And so I thought, well, where could we look to find empirical evidence of early Earth life to test origin of life theories empirically, rather than leave it kind of unanswered? Well, I realized that the moon acts as a kind of attic. It preserves anything that's blasted off the Earth. And so I asked a couple of graduate students if they wanted to do this study with me to figure out if the concentration of terrestrial meteorites on the moon was sufficient for us to think about practical terms looking for them. It could have been the case that after we did our calculations, it turned out that the concentration was so low that it was utterly negligible. Okay, we didn't know ahead of time. But it turned out that the concentration was at a reasonable level, so it's something we can actually expect to look for when the astronauts return to the moon at some future date, to actually have a good chance of finding fragments of the early Earth prior to 3.7, 3.8 billion years ago preserved on the lunar regolith. And so that was kind of confirmation of my expectation that there would be a solution to this. It would be an answer to the question, can we empirically study the origin of life? Now, it doesn't prove our argument, okay? It's kind of a weak confirmation of my expectation. But as we make more of these kinds of predictions and they're confirmed, and these predictions are motivated by our particular hypothesis, that lends weight to it. It lends support to it.
For more information about the argument for intelligent design from astronomy and cosmology, visit the Privileged Planet website at privilegedplanet.com. Thanks for tuning in to the ID of the Future podcast, coming to you from idthefuture.com at the CSC in Seattle. Thanks for listening.
Music on ID of the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID of the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Bennett. ID of the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.